have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he that lieth in them, or where is the God of judgment? So we can do whatever we want, and God doesn't care. And that's not the case. That's not the case. There's three things here in this book. One is giving God the least, the last, the leftovers, and the losers. He says, you're giving me, you're sacrificing, but it's not a sacrifice. You go early in the book of Malachi, he said, when you get ready to come down and give the sacrifice, you give the lamb that's already on its last leg. The other one, the one has already broke its leg, it's not worth anything anyway. So that's the one you're giving to God because you're not going to make any money off of it anyway. So let's just go ahead and give it to God. It's no loss. Well, then it's no sacrifice. If there's no loss, there's no sacrifice. So he said, you're giving the least of what you have. The second thing he says there, it's not as good as truth. In chapter 2, he's talking about divorce. He says, there's no integrity. Even when the ones we claim to love the most, we're not afraid to break a vow to God. You can go back and read it. But it says, well, you decide you get this little gal and you woo her and you make her your bride, and then you decide you don't want her, and then you just divorce her and throw her away. So you made a vow to God. And by the way, when you have a marriage, we know why we make vows, because it's not always going to be easy. See, that's the wonderful thing. See, when God takes us, him as the groom, Jesus Christ the groom, and we as the bride, he says, I will love you with an everlasting love. That's why it's such a great picture, because he knows all our flaws and he keeps us anyway. And the fact is, in marriage, you know, like they say, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. And so you learn some things about your spouse you didn't know. That's the whole purpose. That's why you go through better for worse, richer for poorer, sickness and in health. Because you're giving your life to this person, and that person giving their life to you, and say, we're going to stick this out through thick or thin. We're together until all this is over. And so that he says, you got vows. You don't fear God. We say something. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't. The fact is, if you think about it, that's kind of where our society is right now. Well, we'll give God the leftovers. If I have time to come to church, I'll come. If I have a little leftover to give him money, fine, I will. If I have some time to serve him a little bit, fine. If I don't, fine. It's just like whatever's left, that's what I give to the Lord. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Same thing with divorce. We make vows. It's like, well, nobody really believes that. We had a down in Maryland at a Christian school, and of course, a part of the Christian school, like we have here, there's a little thing you sign that says, you know, we're saying that we're going to abide by the policies of this school. Now, you may not agree to them, you know, to the nth degree, but you're going to abide by the policies of this school. And so I remember one time down in Maryland, this particular child was having an issue and so forth, and they brought the child in and brought the parents in, and they said, this child has broken this policy several times. We need to do something, or you're not going to be able, you know, to any longer attend a school here. And I said, well, where to say that? He said, well, it's right in the handbook. Well, I didn't see it there. Well, you signed it and said you read it. Oh, nobody reads that thing. See, that's where we are. The third thing. You ready? The third thing in Malachi 3, is that we're not afraid to steal from God. That's really the issue. We're not afraid to steal from God. The only reason in this chapter, in this book here, this bunch of cheap, lazy, lying thieves are still alive is because God is merciful and gave his word that he would keep them alive. That's why it says in chapter 3, and we're going to read the passage here, in chapter 3, verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The only reason we're getting away with what we're doing is because God is love. Now, let me read the passage beginning with verse number 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, why did he call them sons of Jacob, didn't he call them Israel? Because Jacob was a kind of a sly kind of guy, kind of hanging on in everybody's pocket. That's who he was naturally. Then he decided to trust God. And he hung on to, he fought the Lord, if you will, that night at the river Jabbok. He wouldn't let go unless you bless me, he said. And says, now I'll call you a prince with God. Because he said, I trust God more than anything else. I've got to have you. God likes that. That's another message. We'll do that another time. Look at verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? In other words, we haven't done anything wrong. What's the matter with that? What are you talking about? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? We haven't robbed God. What do we do? Go into church and take out the PA system and sell it? He says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed. Look at that. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the first fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about, I know you might not think that I am, but I am. It's going to talk about possessing financial security. Now, I'm dead serious about this, and if you haven't gotten this squared away, I really pray that you will. If maybe you've just been kind of wavering on a little bit, been being tried a little bit, I just want to encourage a little bit. But let's talk about possessing financial security. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, this is one of those walk around Jericho events. It doesn't look like we're going the right way. It looks like we're going the wrong way. But Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We need your Holy Spirit. Let me be a blessing. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I spoke months ago on possessing the goods. And I did so from Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his authority in your life, and his righteousness, doing right according to his definition, not ours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we need, the regular things we need every day, shall be added unto you. You seek righteousness, you seek his kingdom, your authority, you get his authority, you get his leadership in your life. You seek his righteousness, you get his righteousness in your life. And so when you seek those things, he says, I will add to you what you need day by day. Now, that's a good place to say an amen. You do what you're supposed to do in his eyes, and he'll say, he'll make sure that you get what you need. Now, I said we're going to have financial security. Financial security does not mean necessarily that your bank account is exploding. That doesn't mean that. In fact, to tell you the truth, if you've got money in the bank account, you've got money here, you've got to decide what to do with it. Then we're scared what happens if somebody steals it. Or if the stock market goes sour, you've got all those things, you start worrying about it. What if it wasn't yours to be concerned about, but what if somebody else had to take all the risk? And you knew that for sure that they were always going to make sure you have what you need when you need it, but you don't have to worry about the risk. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have money put away. You ought to. The Bible talks about the ant putting things away for the day. So there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not wrong to have money. And I'm not telling you to give all your money away. But I am saying we can have, whether we, listen, Paul said, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, I know therewith, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Why? Because God is still in control. Whether I have a lot of money in the bank account, or if I, and then I, you can say, well, I know God's in control, he'll see me through. But what happens when you have no money in the bank account? God is still God, he's still on the throne, he can still see us through. Now, sometimes we get by, you know, we may have to change our diet a little bit. I remember years ago when we were tight, we ate a lot of beans and rice. I was working all night, go to school all day, and we didn't have a whole lot of money, and Janet was making homemade graham crackers. And we bought some kind of cheap peanut butter, and I'd come home after working all night, and I'd sit there and eat cheap peanut butter and homemade graham crackers. That's what I had before I went to bed. To be honest with you, I kind of liked it. But we had a lot of beans and rice and some other things, and we were just fine. The fact is, with the work that I did, by the way, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But all the work I was doing and what we were eating, I was actually feeling about as good as I had felt in years and years and years. In fact, I'd be better off doing the same thing right now. I don't want to, but I would be better off. Now, what I want to cover this evening is even more practical. There is a more cause and effect approach. I want you to see there's a cause and effect. We're going to think it seems weird, but it's a cause and effect. Allow me to give you a few thoughts in a way of introduction, and then I'm going to make a few points. This is not a message to get your money. Now throw that out. Ron, is that is it? I'm not pulling the wool over your eyes. This is not a message to get your money. This is a message for you to place your trust in the Lord. Tithing, watch. Tithing is not about poor old God needs your money to survive. Don't fool yourself. We don't have any money to give him. Psalms 50 verse 12 says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. See, you say, well, he wants my money. You don't have any money to give him. And what we do have in our pocket, which isn't ours, isn't much. God's not poor mouthing us here. Let me give you number one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but please drive this point home in your heart. Do not shove it aside. Number one, everything we possess actually belongs to God. You have to get that in your mind. If you're going to have financial security, the first thing you have to realize is you have no finances. Everything you own, everything you have, everything you have in your hands actually belongs to God. Now, I hope you'll grab a couple verses here because I don't want you to take this on mine. I want you, when you read your Bible, I want you to go back and see these verses again and have it reassure you. So look at Psalm 24, if you will, real quickly, please. Psalm 24, verse 1. You know, I go through a lot of verses, but the fact is, there's nothing wrong I know some person, they'll take my verses and they'll put the little name of the message on there, and they start there. When you get into that passage, they put the reference to the next place, and they'll put the reference to the next place. And so when they can kind of, wherever they are, it kind of all goes together, and they can kind of back up to it and get to it and realize it. It's almost like you're hearing me preach all over again. Maybe that's not good. But you get the Word of God all into you again. Psalm 24, 1 says this, the earth is the Lord's. Whose? At capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, capital S, that is the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. The earth belongs to Jehovah God, the self-existing one, and the fullness thereof. That means everything the earth is filled with. Not just the ball laying out here, not the big ball of dirt floating around in the universe here, but everything that's on it. Watch me. Watch it. And the fullness of, and watch, the world. Everything the earth is filled with, the world, everything in and on the earth, watch. And they that dwell therein, every soul that has, is, and will live on the earth belongs to him. You don't even belong to you. If we can get the concept that we could take ourselves and literally put ourselves in the hands of God and trust Him to take care of us, be honest with you, you start feeling secure because the security is not in you. It's in Him. It's just like salvation. Why can I rejoice and say, I'm going to heaven? Because it's not Sterling Walsh. It's the blood of Jesus. God has sent His Son. He paid for it all. It's done, deal, signed, sealed, delivered. I hate to do that. Whenever I do that, I always think of that old song. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm His. We have to realize, you know, and of course the world doesn't live like this. And so we have lived like the world lives for so long. The world doesn't think about everything belongs to God. Look at verse 2 here. It says, for He hath founded it, the earth, upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? In other words, who has the right to approach a God that has done such things? Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. If you want to share, watch, if you want to share in the blessings that belong to God, because they don't belong to us, you're going to have to live the way God wants you to live. You're going to have to do this the way God wants you to do it. Now, we're not perfect. I know that. You know that. And when we mess up, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the fact is, you're not going to throw your kids out of the door just because they messed up. They spilt their milk or left the milk out and got sour. You know, you're not going to throw them away. Well, listen, if we're merciful, think how merciful God is. He loves us with an everlasting love. He doesn't throw us away with a whim. On the other hand, if we're going to just go out and do our own thing, that's a different story. He says, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. Verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Selah means think about it. He says, all right, you supplanters, you Jacobs out here. He said, you want to see the blessing? Seek the Lord. Because He owns it all. Now, if you really believe that He owned it all, and He's going to provide because we're doing right, we're where we're supposed to be, I think it changed what we do. Now, the fact is, He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. But sometimes He sends the fire on the unjust and the just. Listen, there's things that we have to worry about. I mean, there's some things we need to think about. Watch. You name it, and it belongs to God. Our food doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. Do you realize saying grace and thanking God for your food should not just be a simple ritual, nice and sweet, that all Christians are supposed to do? You know why you say grace? You know what you're saying? I'd have nothing except by the grace of God. Now the fact is, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He also sends Big Mac burgers on the just and the unjust. You know, He didn't throw the world away. He feeds us. But you know what the world's wanting? What if we're going to have another food? We're going to have food for tomorrow. You know what? You can get to a point where you don't have to worry about that unless He wants to put you on a diet. I'm serious. I'm serious. Sometimes we might, not you, but some of us around here could use a diet for once in a while. But even then, you know what I have found? He sends a sweetness with it all. You don't worry about it. Don't worry. He's got it. There's a security. Our clothing. I mean, we teach our kids to be thankful. Now pray, tell God what you're thankful for. And we said, isn't that sweet? Boy, wouldn't it be nice if the rest of God's children would do that too? I remember when I got a job at the church down there, when I first came on staff after I came from Hiles Anderson, we didn't have any money. I mean, we waited for the last, I had, you know, most of you know the story, but we were waiting for, Janet had made working part-time at $5 an hour, being a cook at a daycare, and we waited for her last check so we had enough money to buy gas. I'm serious. That's all the money we had. literally all the cash money we had was, and we had a house here back here that we were going to have to find the mortgage money for and the tax money for. But anyway, we waited for her check to have enough money to buy gas to get home. And we were wondering how in the world we were going to do it. But yet the fact is, God provided everything we needed at the right time. Our clothing, our house belongs to Him. Doesn't belong to me. Our car. Our car does not belong to us. Our car belongs to Him. Our toys. All those little things you collect and so forth, you know. Not big. You can tell the men from the boys by the price of their toys. You know what I'm talking about? We all have some toys. God, let us have some toys. They don't belong to us. Remember this one? Our family. They don't belong to us, they belong to God. I remember the day, well, I did it with all four of our kids. Janet had the baby. And we were standing in the delivery room. And finally, with everything calmed down. It's kind of like the Lion King, but the Lion King wasn't out yet then. I remember I took Sterl. He was 8 pounds, 8 ounces. And he looked like a football player. He was huge. He was just big. And I went, no. I lifted him to the sky and I said, "Lord, he's not ours. He's yours. I don't want to stand in your way with what you want to do with this soul that belongs to you. But please give us the wisdom to raise this soul for you. They don't belong to us. Everything we have belongs to God." Number two. Ready for this one? Principle. God has the authority to distribute wealth as He sees fit and to whom He sees fit. God has the authority and the right to distribute wealth, His wealth, as He sees fit and to whom He sees fit. It's all His. We have some money we think is ours, and we think we have the right to decide what to do with it. And to a certain extent, we are stewards, and God has given us certain liberty to do some things with the money that He puts in our hands as stewards. But the fact is, the money is not ours. It belongs to the Master. And if He decides not to give us any more, it's His right to do so. If He decides to give us a lot, it's okay. If He decides to give us a lot and take it back, it's His right. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Would you see something here? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. I'm going to teach a principle here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Look what it says here. "When thou hast eaten and are full," he's talking about when you go into the promised land, "then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage," He saved your soul, "who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna." In other words, He's kept you alive when you had little or nothing. which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do good at thy latter end. What did he say? He says, the reason I took you through that wilderness time where you were living from hand to mouth, day to day, you were getting the manna when you had it, that you don't hold it on because it's not going to last. You were living every day to prove to you, I will take care of you every day. And when you're thirsty, you don't find any water, I'll bring it out of the side of a rock. Doesn't make any sense. What are you saying? That's okay because God owns everything and he can give it to anyone he wants. He says, I want to show you that I have given you and provided for you. Verse 17, watch this. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, by the way, including yourself, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. Why? Because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. There's some things, we're still going to see it here this evening yet. There's some things God's asking us to do, and some direct things. And we've said, well, I don't have to worry about that, and it's God's job to provide. But it is, yes, he will provide, but he has the right to give his wealth to whomever he pleases. Now, he does tell us what pleases. It's all God's, and he's willing to share it with us. Number three. Watch this. God has the right to take it back. Now, he doesn't want to, but he has a right to. And sometime he may. You realize we exist by the mercy of God. I know I've hit that here recently quite a few times, but the fact is we exist by the mercy of God. You know the story of Job? Let me read you some. Job chapter 1, verse 20. This is after the first thing, and of course, everything's gone. His children, his wealth, everything. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. He was upset. And fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I don't understand any of this, but God's still on the throne. Watch. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. If you want to be secure financially, the first thing we've got to decide is we've got to realize we don't own any of it. It's not ours. Job chapter 2, verse 9. Now his health is gone. It says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. By the way, did Job starve to death? No, he didn't. God took him through. Everything we have belongs to God. He can share it with whomever he wants. And if he wants, he can take it back. Number four. Now, second set of the message here. In our passage in Malachi, which is where we're going to go right now, Malachi 3, I want you this statement, you write things down. This is a statement you write down. Tithing is a matter of stewardship. That's what it is. Tithing is a matter of stewardship. It has nothing, listen, it's not our money. They're not our goods. Now, the fact is, if you handle God's goods well and faithful, why in the world would he stop taking care of you. He takes good care of his stewards. You do right, God will do right by you. He's a good master. He's a good God. What we do is we say, well, God gives us something, we say, mine. Mine. We're like some of the kids over here in the nursery. Most of them are my grandkids. Mine. What was it? Alice? One day, one of the kids has something, and all of a sudden, Alice took it and she ran. Mine! No, it's not yours. And we do the same thing. God gives us a little something, and all of a sudden, we are so enamored with the blessing that we forget about the blesser who gave it to us. He didn't want to take the attention away from him. He wanted to show you who it is that gives the blessing. He's drawing you to himself. So tithing is a matter of stewardship. Let's walk through this. Malachi 3, verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." In other words, the only reason you bunch of hard heads are still alive is because I'm merciful and I promised David I would. I promised David that there'll always be a remnant. I promised David there'll be a son of David on the throne someday. And so the fact is, you're more a mess, but I don't change. I gave you my word. You're not consumed. And by the way, God loves you, and he doesn't want to consume you either. Second, you don't even know why God is upset with us. He said, look at verse 7. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But ye said, "But he said, wherein shall we return?" You see, we have gotten so enamored with the things, we've forgotten that we don't need things. We need God. God takes care of the things. We've walked so far, our perspective is so off, it's so skewed, we don't understand that we are actually living in faith of us rather than faith in him. I'll tell you what, you go back years and years, you go back 100 years or maybe a little further like that, or at least, or let's say, let's go back to just to the Depression. I tell you, people were a whole lot more religious back then. Because they can say, well, you know, it's not like we got a big bank account that's going to hold us over. I mean, we got to pray for rain. We got to trust God to bring in the increase. We're not going to make it. And sometimes you had some bad times, and somehow you realize God's going to see us through. We got folks in this room who grew up during the Depression. My mom said that they were poor and she didn't know it. You know why? Because God gave them what they needed. There was eggs out there because there was chickens. They had bacon because they had pigs. They had milk because they had cows. They had corn because they planted it. You know, they had a garden out back there, and everybody worked, and oh, well, you got to work. A man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You ought to work. That's part of the problem. I sit behind my desk, and then I go out and visit folks, and they want to feed me. I'm happy about that, by the way. I'm free on Mondays. But the fact is, I don't get enough exercise. God designed us to work. He said, listen, this is yours. He said, we walked away from the simple trust of God, our Heavenly Father. Give us this day our... See, we say that, we don't mean that. You know what we mean? Give us enough so I can retire at 35. That's what we think. Give us enough so we think I will have no joys, I'll have no worries, I'll have no frets, because God's going to put all this in my bank. He's going to give me good genes so I'm not going to get sick, and then, therefore, I can be happy because I'm a Christian. No, he said, you're happy because you've got a Heavenly Father who's going to see you through with this. All you need to do is have enough money in your pocket to pay your bills today. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You hear about the guy... He walked into the restaurant. Some of you heard this story before. He walked in the restaurant, and here comes this ostrich in behind him. He gets up to the counter, he gets up on the stool, and the ostrich gets up next to him. And it's lunchtime. He says, I'd like to have a BLT and an iced tea and a piece of pie. And he looked at the, so what do you want your ostrich? What's your friend here want? He wants the same thing. He looked at the ostrich, and the ostrich went like this. So they had lunch, they had the same thing. And when it came time, they brought the bill over, and he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out some money, and he laid it on the counter. It was exactly the right amount, right down to the penny. Well, about 3, 4, 5 hours later, the man comes in around dinner time, and the ostrich is with him. And he comes in, and he says, I'd like to have a New York strip steak. I'd like to have a baked potato and a salad with Thousand Island dressing on it. What's your friend want? Wants the same thing. Looked over there. Wants the same thing. So they ate their dinner, got out there. When he got finished, they brought the bill. Sure enough, he just reached in his pocket, grabbed what was in his pocket, and put it down. And it was exactly the right amount of money. And so the waiter said, listen, I don't get this thing. He says, how is it that you can reach in your pocket and put out the money out there? It's always exactly what it needs to be. He says, I know this is a stupid question. But anyway, he says, well, you tell you the truth, I was walking along the beach and I found this bottle. I'd opened this bottle and it said I could have three wishes. I'm sorry, two wishes. That's what it was. Two wishes. And he said, well, what would you wish for? He said, well, I didn't wish for $1 million. I just wished that whenever I needed to buy, if I just put my hand in my pocket, whatever came out would always be enough money to pay for what I need to buy. That's pretty smart. Well, what was your second wish? I wanted a chick that always agrees with everything I do. I'm sorry, chick with long legs. That's what it was. I want a chick with long legs who agrees with everything I want to do. Now, I wasn't in the notes. I had to improv that one. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to always know that God's going to take care of you? That's the thing. That's the point. Now, don't go out there and make bills that he doesn't want. See, a good steward doesn't do that. But a good steward, listen, he knows he can take care of his, he needs to take care of his good stewards. Let's listen. He says here in verse 8, look back. He says, well, will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, you have been taking things from God that don't belong to you. And the fact is, you're getting the raw end of the deal. He said, there's a curse. Now just kind of hang tight. I'm going to do a little side thing here. Tithing. Now listen to me. Tithing is returning 10% of our gross increase to God. That's what tithing is. Returning. It's not ours to give. Watch. We're not giving to the Lord. We're returning to the Lord. 10% of our gross increase. Gross. That's before taxes. That's who, the government gets theirs off the gross. Right? When we brag about how much we make, we always give the gross, right? That's how much we make. All right, well, we give the gross. Now, if you've got a business, you've got to find out what you end up, what your net profit was. That's a different story. That's your gross income. You know, I've got some folks here who run their own business. But you find out what your income is, your gross income, before the government gets their greasy fingers in there. Now, first of all, the tithe is the Lord's. Leviticus 27:30 says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy. It's set apart unto the Lord. It belongs to him. And if a man will at all redeem aught his tithe, he shall add thereunto fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the Lord of the herd or of the flock, even if whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 14:12, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. The tithe is the Lord's, the full of the whole bit. Now, God allows us to live off the other 90% out of the goodness of his heart and his mercy. See, this is not our money. It belongs to him. Listen, you get this in your mind, you start living this by this, I will guarantee you, God will start doing something. Now, if you just say, I'm going to try for a while and see what happens, and then I'm going to back out if I don't like it, it's not going to work. Don't expect work. You just say, it's right now. We got to do it. God allows us. Listen, this is not given to God. God has given to us, and we are returning 10% of His money as God has requested. God has the right to demand this. It is His money. Now, God allows us to live off the 90% that God has allotted to us. Now, if we are faithful with what He leaves in our trust, that 90%, God may entrust us with more. That means 90% of a bigger amount. Well, 90% of bigger is more. But so is 10% of that bigger. See, some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I make too much. Now, you listen, you're living over more than everybody else because you're making more. If we're not honest and faithful with the funds He gives us, and we try to keep the 10% that's not ours to use, we can expect to be cursed. We mean cursed. No, listen. That is, we will not get ahead even though we're using the extra 10%. I'll guarantee you, can I get a witness? I know, listen, that's not only that, but we can't expect God to entrust us with more because He can't trust us with what He's been giving us. If we're not giving back the 10% of 10 bucks, He's not going to give us $100. We're keeping the buck, well, we're probably going to keep the 10 bucks. We may even have some taken away that we have been getting. So our 90% will become less and less. No wonder the paycheck runs out before the month does. Listen, I know, there was times that so much I want to tell you. There was a time, and most of you have heard this story, but the fact is, when Jan and I first got married, we started going over, we went to a good independent Baptist church. To be honest with you, we gave money. Okay, little Methodist church we grew up in, I remember when I was a kid, every time the plate went by, my dad put a dollar in. I mean, I'm serious. He put a dollar in. That's what you do. And sometimes, because I know sometimes I get to put it in. Put a dollar in. You got 70 people, so the whole, you know, if everybody did that, the whole offering was $70. Can't live off of that, but he put a dollar in. And I remember it came to a point one time when he got a little older, he put $5 in because of inflation, so he was putting $5 in. When we got married, man, I'm going to be spiritual. We put 10 in. 10 bucks right there in the plate. Yeah, boy, twice what my dad's giving. Now, I'll be honest with you, the church was dead, and I really didn't want to invest in it, to be honest with you. But we when we got to a good church, we were you know, going, learning and growing and so forth. And it got to the point where every time the preacher preached, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, no matter what it was, he preached about the cross, all I heard in my heart was tithing. You're not tithing. He preached about the second coming. All I heard was, you're not tithing. Now, we were both teaching in public school. Now, I know they complain about their salary, but to be honest with you, we were doing all right. We were 23 years, at the age of 23, we were already living in a house that we built on an acre and a half. I mean, the Lord had blessed in many ways, but the fact is, He had taken good care of us. But I had this in my mind, you're not tithing. Well, you're not tithing. And what was going on? We were losing ground. We had gathered up some money. In fact, I think that God decided, okay, it's time for you to learn about tithing. You've been doing some other things. Another thing we need to attend to, it's time to learn about tithing. So all of a sudden, we were losing what we were having, what we had in our bank account. And it was going down week after week after week. And every time I went to church, it was like, you're not tithing. And finally, I said to Janet, because she always takes care of the book, I said, Janet, we can't do this forever. We can't afford this anymore. We've got to start tithing. That's where we came to. We cannot afford this. We have to start tithing. And so, we didn't know where the money, we were already losing money every month. I'm not telling you a story here. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth, all right? This is not just, I said, we were losing money. And we said, we're going to give them more money. But wait a minute, we weren't giving more money. We were giving back what we were stealing and keeping. And so, we started tithing. All of a sudden, we were able to make ends meet. Now, about 3 or 4 months later, we were making ends meet. Every time the preacher preached, I thought, what I heard in my heart, you're not tithing. And again, and again, and again, and again. I thought, and you know what I thought? You know what? I just kind of psyched myself out. It wasn't God telling me to tithe. This foolishness. But just week after week after week. Well, they were tithing. So finally, I said to Jen, I said, all right. We decided we're going to tithe. Are we tithing? And she said, well, yeah. All right, tell me what you're actually doing. She says, when we get the paycheck, I take the gross amount, and we get paid every 2 weeks. So the first week I give half the tithe, the second week I give the other half the tithe. And in case we get a little bit pinched, well, there's a little extra there. Whose money's extra? It's not mine. I'm hanging on to God's money in case I need it. That's like kids, somebody giving you a $10 bill and telling you to go down to the store and buy some bread and buy some milk, and you've got a dollar left over. And he said, well, I'll just keep this in case I need it next time. No, that dollar belongs to the guy who gave you the $10. And I said, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We get paid every 2 weeks. When we get paid, you do the whole tithe that week. And she said, well, we don't have a whole lot of extra money. That means the next week we give little or nothing. I said, that's all right. Tithe what we have when we get it. You know, all of a sudden we were starting able to build our bank account back up. Now, I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. God doesn't need your money. You say, well, Lord builds this. Yes, he does, with your faithfulness. But the fact is, if he wants to build his church, he'll find another way to build it. If we don't happen to have it, he'll do something. But he's also going to bless the people who's going to work and serve. And he's not going to give a church to a church who's not going to be good stewards. You know what I mean? So the fact is, so what is the issue? It says, look at, well, I'll read it to you. In Proverbs 3:1, it says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my command, my law, but let, I'm sorry, but keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. This makes no sense. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Do what he tells you to do, and he shall direct thy paths. You keep doing what he wants you to do. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Watch. Honor, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You don't wait to tithe at the end of the month if you have something left over. It's not ours to keep. You give it first. Why? So to make sure he gets his first. Listen, I'm a whole lot more scared of him than I am of you. I'd rather deal with a bill collector than with God. But I found when I'm faithful to God, I don't have to deal with a bill collector. We need to live in the fear of God. We need to take God seriously. If we feared God, we would not steal from God. It's not our money. The goal is not for us to get more money. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, his authority, and his righteousness, and our master will take care of us. Now, verse 10, here it is. Boy, it took all time to get here. We can possess the promise that's given to good stewards. We're stewards. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying this, prove me, test me, investigate, try me. This is God's word in black and white. And he says, and you shall receive enough. Give it a shot and see if there isn't enough prosperity to take care of you. Now, he may make it a little slim to see if you're willing to trust you. He's not gonna throw you under the bus. But it might get a little slim so you can trust. But wait a minute. I glory in tribulation because tribulation brings works by patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Watch this. Ready for this? Well, this is good. Look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. We give him the first fruits, the tithe, his 10% back. God will keep the enemy away from your things and the bugs from eating them. Watch this. God will keep the blight and the fruit will grow fully. He says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You see all these fruit and all of a sudden, boom. He says, listen, I'll take care of you. I will provide you in ways you never thought possible. There were some things that around this church that so helped me. I think they were like the shoes in the wilderness. God kept everything moving and running until we could afford to fix them when we first got here. We got one more item. I hate to even bring it up. These air conditioners are going to go out. We've had a couple of people look at them. They say, you know what, there's no reason in the world these things should still be working. So get ready. But the Lord has blessed us. When the time comes, he wants us to replace them, he'll take care of it. Watch this. Those around you will be amazed how you always have what you need. Look at verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You have not been living this way. Look at verse 13. It says, your words have been stout, strong, accusatory against me, saith the Lord. No, what do I got to provide my needs? What do I, we never seem to have enough money. We go into that church and go in that church and we doing what we're supposed to do and now we're not getting what we want. Are you tithing? Or are you stealing from God? We can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Ye have said it is, look, verse 14. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? We can get so full of self and disrespectful of God and that we actually praise those who forget God and go out to seek their own fortune without the aid of God, if that, as if it's noble. Look at verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. In other words, there were other faithless and selfish things that were going on. Now, tithing was not the only thing. We talked about the divorce thing. We talked about the sacrifice thing. Listen, the steps of a good steward may seem odd. Tithing is like Jericho. They went around Jericho every day for 7 days, and of course, seven times on the seventh day. And the fact is, that made no sense. He says, I'll give you the victory. Listen, we're setting ourselves up like sitting ducks. You just do what I need to do, and I'll give you the victory. Tithing is like Gideon. God says, you got 32,000, we got a multitude we can't even number, but you're going to have to fight them, but you got too many people. Because you're going to think you did it. So we've got to knock out some. So he knocks out 22,000, I think, if I remember right. He ends up with 10. No, there's still too many. So he knocks out everything but 300 people. This is going the wrong way, Lord. This is not going the right direction. See, we think the same thing in tithing. You want me to give my money back? I'm having trouble making my ends meet. He says, it's not about you making your ends meet. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Your job is to be good stewards of what God has given you. That's your eternal security. It's your financial security. Do what God has asked you to do. The goal was to conquer Jericho. The fact is the Israelites are not going to conquer Jericho. God is going to conquer Jericho. Going around Jericho actually may have appeared detrimental to the task. and tithing appears detrimental to the task of financial security. How can we achieve financial security when we're giving away our finances? As stewards, it's not our job to look out for our welfare, but to look out for the Lord's welfare. And as his stewards, the Lord looks out for our welfare. Good stewards are to take care of the Lord's business. Well, what's the Lord's business? The Lord promises to open the windows of heaven. Haggai 1 says this, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Objection: I cannot afford to tithe. Answer: you cannot afford not to. Objection: but I need the money. Answer: it's not your money. To keep the money is to steal from God. It's not wise to steal from God. It's like stealing a police car. You know what I'm saying? If I give money to God when I'm already running short, how will I pay my bills? The first bill you owe is the tithe through the Lord. And again, I'm more afraid of God than any man, including the debt collector. Suggestion: make sure you're not wasting the money God has given you to live off of. Don't be buying beer, any alcohol, cigarettes, unneeded toys. You have a hard time with this one. If you can't afford to pay your bills, get rid of the cable TV. What are we supposed to do from 7 to 10 on evening? Well, you could read your Bible. We've never paid for cable TV. Never have. Never have. You know what I found? When the antenna and TV doesn't have anything to watch, we turn it off. You don't have to watch TV. Expensive clothes. You name it. When we give with a sincere heart and forget what we are getting out of it and be thankful for what we have, the Lord tends to outgive us. And by the way, that can add up over time. This is a real test as whether you believe and trust in God or you don't take Him seriously. I want to say it again. This is a real test as to whether you believe and trust in God or you don't take Him seriously. Well, if I start tithing, how in the world is God going to provide my needs? Well, He promised to. And He says, I'll take care of you. I'll see you through. The security is that we've gone through this so that now we are in the hands of God. That's the safest place to be. I'm glad my eternity is in the hands of God. Well, put your finances in the hands of God. I'm not expecting you to give everything to Him, but you've got to give at least His tenth, because that belongs to Him. That He said, I want that back. We need to pray. Extra late. Father, we thank You for Your promises. Lord, I want our folks to learn this principle. It's amazing what You can do when we learn this principle. Father, speak to our hearts. We thank You for it. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The piano's going to play. The Lord's spoken to your heart.